when God showed me the world, and I was surprised in that thing because the whole world was filled like with children. And I said, Lord, the whole world is with children. Where are the adults? Then the Lord said to him, the whole world and all its inhabitants are only little children. He's a great almighty Papa Father to all of us. We all need him. Which is why when the Ninevites cry out, say, God forgive, the heart of the Papa says, I will. Later God has to teach Jonah why he forgave. Because God looked right into the Assyrian's heart. Hard as stone though it was on the outside. God told Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, they don't know their right hand from their left hand. They don't have a developed conscience. God says, in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, God told Jonah, verse 11, should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? God saw it. God saw that. God saw what Jesus saw. God says, in spite of all the cruelty, they behave like mongrels and barbarians. God saw through the heart of stone. And God said, in Jonah chapter 4, what Jesus said on the cross. Jesus said, Father, they know not what they have done. And Jesus was talking about those who crucified him. He was talking about those people who were beneath his cross looking at him, who are mocking him, who are reviling him. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know. I repeat, they do not know. In other words, they cannot discern their right hand from their left hand. They do not know what they are doing. Only the love of the Father and the heart of the Father can see to that extent. You see, deep in every human being is a desire to do the right thing. Even in the hardest criminal, deep, except that sometimes it's covered more than others, deep inside is a desire to do good and to help another. And we as Christians must seek to draw it out from people and not run down, write off and condemn. Even a cruel man like the Apostle Paul, we must not run down. There is hope for the hardest stone-hearted person on earth. Because in God's sight, he understands them above what a human being can do. But here is where the Ninevites really did their best. Not only the people fasted, the animals also have to fast. If you were traveling to Nineveh that day, and you were a tourist and you happened to come by, you see everybody wearing the same kind of uniform, sackcloth. Then you look around and some of their animals also wear sackcloth. Maybe a few of them have pet dogs and the pet dogs also wear sackcloth. You're wondering what kind of town is this? Any animal that could lay hand on, they put sackcloth. So you ask the owner, you knock on their door, sir, is that your dog over there? Yes, why? And the owner came out, you look at the owner, look at the dog, both same uniform. Why is your dog having sackcloth? Don't you know? No, I don't know. He's fasting. The cows fast, the chicken fast. the dogs fast, everybody fasted. It was a real serious command. When God saw how total the commitment was to him in repentance, God forgave them. But chapter 4, Jonah became angry. And then now God had to deal with Jonah and teach him mercy, which Jonah has to learn. Mercy is one of the highest truths to learn. Faith, prosperity, and all these others are the basics. You call them foundations. But mercy and love are the higher things that we must learn. And God has to teach Jonah about mercy. But as we consider this book, what eschatological truth are we going to draw for? First of all, we realize that Jonah chapter 2 puts the whole spiritual and eschatological perspective in line. Jonah chapter 2 is a prophetic type of the cross. Jesus himself said it in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, as Jonah is in the whale of the belly 3 days and three nights. See, God purposely carried him over 3 days and three nights, because it was a prophetic type to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that placed our historical chronological order. So Jonah chapter 2 represents the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that is so, that central theme tells us that the book of Jonah is an evangelistic book. It tells us something, that even in the Old Testament, God was interested in other people besides the Israelites. So who says that the Old Testament God is only the God of Israel? He was a God who cares about every tribe, tongue, nation, and race. Wherever, whoever will reach out to him. Jonah 2 represents Jesus at a cross. Then we realize that the 40 days in chapter 3 of the Ninevites represent the Gentile dispensation. The Gentile dispensation that will take place in our days today. And it's amazing that the Gentile dispensation rests wholly on what we call the mercy of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. All are condemned to the wages of sin, which is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus to all who will receive. So the Gentile dispensation, which is typified in chapter 3, the Ninevites represent the Gentiles. They represent us who are outside of the covenant of God, and whom we can receive the mercy of God, but we must pay the same price. And so chapter 3, it tells us the entire city was saved. Entire city was spared the judgment because they fasted and they prayed. Again, it prophesied the great revival that will come, a totality that will come when fasting and prayer comes forth. Back to the book of Joel chapter 2. Fasting and prayer, blowing the trumpet, fasting and prayer. See, chapter 1 begins with a win, chapter 4 closes with another win. The church of Jesus Christ begins with a mighty win in Acts 2. The church of Jesus Christ will end with a mighty win in a catching up by the Spirit of God. That is the book of Jonah, the story of the church. But in the story of the church, there are different degrees of mercy that we're going to understand here. To study this book, we need to link it up with what we call mercy. And we will use the Greek for our analysis. There are actually four special Greek words that we want to consider. And two of them are normally translated mercy and interchange. One of them is a Greek word eleo. Eleo. E-L-E-O. Eleo is translated mercy many times, but it doesn't actually refer just to mercy. Eleo means kindness. Kindness. Then the other word is sympatio, which is found in Hebrews 10, which means, is from where we get the English word sympathy. To be able to have pity, sympathy. To be able to feel what another person feels, the sufferings that they're going through. Then a third word is the word splagna. Now splagna is the most special word in the Greek. Splagna is translated tender mercies. They have to use two words to translate it. If it's eleo, they may just put mercy. But splagna, they put it as tender mercy. But the word splagna has been translated also as compassion. Now let's look at some of those words in the usage, and I just give you the scriptures in Matthew chapter 14. Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. Says in verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. The word splagna is spelled S-P-L-A-N-K-N-A, splagna, the N is silent. Romanized is splagna. And you notice that every time before a miracle can take place, there is always a moving of compassion that takes place in Jesus' heart. And he was moved with compassion and he healed them. Now, splagna has been translated in the old version as bowels. Paul said, I long after you with my bowels. Philippians 1 verse 8. Philemon 7, verse 7 and verse 12, and verse 20, Colossians 3 verse 12, etc. Colossians especially 3 verse 12 translated as tender mercies. Now we are not looking in detail, we are just giving a general word, splagna. It's been translated as tender mercy. Acts 1 verse 18 translated as entrails. It's a word that the translators find it difficult. You will know that the translators have difficulty if the same Greek word, they translate it three, four different words. It tells you how vast it can be expressed. The origin, the Greek origin of the word splagna is interesting. Because the true meaning of the word splagna means entrails and intestinal area. Why is it important? During the time of when the Septuagint was written, where Greek was a common language even of the Hebrews in the Roman Empire, the word splagna was used to refer to the inward parts of the entrails, which was important in the sacrifice of the Hebrew sacrifice. You remember in the sacrifice, they had to take out the inner parts in order to put it as a burnt offering to God. And he said remove the entrails, etc. So, after much usage, it began to be used as that internal things are important to be brought forth for a sacrifice, a burnt offering. Then through time, the word splagna in the Greek began to be used more generally, and it began to be referred to in terms of the womb. And then the word splagna began to be used also for offspring. It became a more productive word. And by the time of Paul's usage, the word splagna began to talk about the deepest, highest feeling that can come forth. And it goes further than the natural feelings or the soul feelings or emotions, the center of a person's being.